The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The voice of health, freedom, and liberty. Here's Robert Scott Bell.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of the Sunday Conversation of the Robert Scott Bell Show with Super Don, you, me, and Super D. Now, this is not going to be that he kind of threatened me with the surprise Q&A. I'm going to question.
That was a threat? You viewed that as a threat?
Well, you know, look.
Intimidate you?
You threw some really good ones at me last time. I was like, "What am I going to do with this guy asking me these
questions?"
Oh, but
they were not. They weren't bad.
They weren't. Traumatic memories.
Oh, whatever. Shut up. Traumatic PTSD because I asked you questions.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not that wimpy. I'm just teasing. We have fun together, and he could throw out questions at me anytime. You do that. But as we work our way through a Sunday conversation, we're also going to integrate. We don't normally do this, but there's no normal for us, really. What is normal? It's whatever we want to do. We will have a conversation about faith, things like that, spirituality, which I like to do on the Sunday conversations more than the weekdays, but questions of the day. We had a couple come in over the weekend, so definitely not going to wait till Monday. So for those of you who you're not here if you don't listen to Sunday. If you do, you're going to be bonused with a couple of questions of the day's answered. We'll have to maybe mention that on Monday's broadcast if they don't expect that. So every once in a while, we can throw a curveball. We're allowed. So you on the weekend, whose birthday was it this weekend?
It was Winters. It wasn't really a big deal. I mean, in the past, her mom, my daughter, she really has set the bar really high
for
on birthday parties. And so, typically there would be, like marching bands and jugglers and, giant bounce houses and stuff and like that. And this year, her sixth birthday, we rented a room for them over at the Shiloh Inn, which is a nice hotel here.
Okay.
It has an indoor pool and all the stuff. So,
they could swim and have fun.
It was basically just a family thing, and the grandkids all got together and jumped in the pool and played and had cake and pizza and they're spending the night. Very basic. Everybody had a good time, which is what matters, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad everybody had a good time. Sixth birthday. There's a whole industry surrounding birthdays. And, when we were kids, Super Don, I don't mean to complain, but, dude, there were bounce houses. do you remember those? No.
No. When we were kids, it was soda.
Yeah.
Or punch.
How about, did you have Carvel ice cream cakes? Anybody remember those?
I don't remember ice cream cakes when I was a kid. Well, I'm thinking kid. So I'm thinking like back when I was like 10 or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember ice cream cakes, but it was the giant tub of Neapolitan ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
The big round one, right?
Right.
Cake. Yep.
Yeah.
And you had like pin the tail on the donkey, stuff like that in somebody's living room.
Yeah.
And maybe you got to run around and play in the backyard or something. That was a birthday.
I think that if I'm going to complain like the old man of Generation X, I'm going to go, these kids today expect so much. And it's just like overwhelmingly ridiculous to the point where, if you don't throw me the right kind of birthday party, you don't love me. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it's everybody's like that, but good Lord. Yeah. I didn't want a clown ever. I mean, I've heard, you see in the movies, a lot of times they play up these big parties, but I'm bah humbug on that. I'll celebrate very simply, just do something fun. But okay, this is just me complaining. Now, what I did do, and it wasn't anybody's birthday the other night, took my daughter to see a live musical event, a concert. And there's this 27-year-old, I would say a rock guitarist. She's amazing. Her name is Hannah Wickland. Wickland. And the reason I learned about her was my buddy Alex, who I've talked about on this show, who's, we've known each other since like third grade. And we were in a garage band together in high school. And I mentioned that. He says he's got audio of it. We don't have it today. I haven't heard from him if he's found it, which would be kind of crazy fun.
That would be really cool. Yeah.
But, the memories I have of high school are pretty good overall, I have to say. And some of my best memories are being in the garage band. Not, I don't know that we were any good, but it was, dude, it was so much fun. We grew up in the era in the 70s and 80s, man. Rock and roll was everything. Music was big.
Absolutely.
And so going to a live concert is just so much fun. I love taking my kids to go see concerts. And, you know, we've gone to see, Kansas twice. We get to see Yes. We saw Foreigner and Loverboy. The kids saw Styx without me. I wasn't in town for that. And it just any opportunity we have to see live music, it's like, wow, it's so cool. So I appreciate that. And I hope everybody does have an opportunity to see live music. The interesting thing about this concert, Super D, the drummer, his name is Dylan Hansen, and he's played with a lot of bands. He had a band called Kick the Robot in Atlanta. And there was a time when Elton John wanted to sign them to his label going back a few years.
Really?
And they decided not to go that way for whatever reason. Wow. But anyway, Dylan is the son of Jerry. And Jerry was an amazing drummer in high school. And he was the drummer in our garage band, in our high school garage band. So his son is now playing professionally on tour with lots of bands over the years, including his own. And so I'm going to this concert, and you know, we get our, you know, special treatment because I know some the band member, and I wanted my daughter to meet Hannah because, you know, young lady, really successful in music, doing it her own way, starting her own label and stuff. I was like, this is really a cool opportunity to do this. And you know, it was funny meeting Hannah at the end after the show, and she's like, oh yeah, you're the guy who's my drummer, his dad, you played in high school together. Like, it's kind of crazy thinking of how that's, you know, come around almost a full circle to see that happen. And then, in fact, Hannah is from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Okay. What do we know about Hilton Head? Do you have any memories of any stories being told about Hilton Head Island?
I've heard of it, but I can't remember anything specific.
I'll tell you, and you'll remember right away. Okay. Christmas Day, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Sharks and dolphins. What comes to mind now?
Oh, are you talking about Ann Archer?
Yes, Ann Archer Butcher, also Hilton Head Island. And that was where it happened. And I'm telling her this story. She said, oh my gosh, I got to read that. You got to get me that book. So I told her about Inner Guide, and she was like stoked. It's like, yeah, I got to read that. And then, okay, one more story on this. There might be others that pop through. So they're on a 4-month tour of not only the U.S., but Europe. They're going to be in England when I'm there. I'm going to go to their show on June 5th. So it was so good. I'm telling you, I did an Instagram live on the last quarter of the one song and then a full last song from the event. So if you want to see it on Instagram, I'm at AskRSB. Excuse me. And then I shared it to Facebook. So if you guys want to see this, she's absolutely outraged. By the way, her boyfriend is the bass player for what's that band that sounds like the lead singer sounds like Led Zeppelin?
What are they called? I know exactly who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I can't remember the name of it though.
Yeah, it's like it'll come back to me or somebody will know. Anyway, it's kind of a small world because they are also a throwback kind of rock to the era, 70s and 80s rock that we grew up with. And she just, if she shreds the solos she plays, the way she drives that guitar, I'm like blown away by her talent. So anyway, it was so much fun. My daughter got to meet her. What?
Greta Van Fleet.
Greta Van Fleet, right. Yeah. So she's, you know, her guy is the bass player apparently for Greta Van Fleet. So it was kind of cool. Just a neat thing to be the elder statesman at a rock concert with my daughter. And it was just a lot of fun. Talking about just fun things to do. And so maybe this leads us into a transition into our Sunday conversation, or maybe this is the Sunday conversation, talking about the joy I've gotten from music and many people have in our generation. It really was, we were so immersed in these bands and you know, you camp out for tickets and things like that, in that, you know, you'd wait for the album release. Now with, you know, everything online, Spotify, it's everything streams, it's different. It's not the same. You know, I don't know what it's like to be, you know, other than if you sell your soul to the devil and you become, what's her name? The top of the most popular artist right now around the world.
There's a few, what, Lady Gaga or something, right?
No, even bigger than that. I mean, she's like selling out. She made $1 trillion on her tour.
Yeah, what's her face that was with the dude from the Chiefs?
Yes, that's right. Travis Kelce's girlfriend. Taylor Swift, that's it.
Swift.
Now, yeah. My offense to anybody who thinks that she's just super duper.
You think she's satanic?
Look, I have a hard time conceiving of how she achieved a level of success beyond anything that we've ever seen since perhaps the Beatles in terms of that kind of thing.
The Beatles satanic?
Arguably, in some ways, yes.
Michael Jackson was satanic?
I don't know. Michael, not so much. I mean,
biggest pop star ever. What about Elvis?
Elvis. Oh, boy, the way he
was.
Was
he satanic?
They thought he was. I just suspect. I'm just suspicious. That's all. I'm not saying definitively, Super Don. I'm just suspicious. Can I be suspicious? Old guy with suspicions.
Elvis did write a song called Suspicious Minds.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So I have a suspicious mind. That's all. I'm not trying to throw water on anybody that likes Taylor Swift or anything like that.
People are going
to
get pissed at me. But I just, come on.
We're working it, both of us.
You know, listen, here's a problem I've got with that.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like it's way too easy. It's kind of like the conversation we've had before about the term controlled opposition or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think it's way too easy for somebody to just label something satanic.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's bad, right? I don't think people question it enough.
Okay.
I think there are people out there that just glom onto, and this is not to say that there aren't evil things out there.
Sure.
Okay. So don't take me wrong. It's not like I've got my head in the sand or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm just saying it seems so easy that, you know, all you got to do is convince a group of people that something is satanic.
Yeah.
And suddenly you have got an army of people online that suddenly will just try and destroy it and take it down. And I think it happens too easily.
Yeah.
I think there's not enough critical thinking. Right. I think that's an epidemic.
Well, risk of having somebody condemn me, I'll admit that Taylor Swift is very talented, and she's written some tunes that just become earworms.
Popular, you know,
pretty amazing. So just having suspicions doesn't mean I definitively know it, but I just have, you know, we get to voice our perspectives here on Sundays. No other
Is RFK Jr. satanic? Look how popular he is.
Yeah.
Within the health freedom movement, right?
Yeah, but the health.
Look at Del Bigtree. He came out of nowhere, man. Just boom.
Yeah,
well, super popular. Done really well. Millions of dollars, you know, donated.
I kind of get where you're going, but my perspective, if I kind of define the terms or like make the boundaries, I'm thinking of all the way in terms of the establishment, not the health freedom movement, which is an establishment. Not to say that there aren't those that have infiltrated.
Look, I understand. I understand. We're not comparing 100% apples to apples, right, in the situation. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I think it's too easy to go, oh, satanic. Now I know there are videos out there. You know,
there's
people are looking
stuff,
at like half time, you know, shows, and there's like stuff. It's like, gosh. Yeah, look, I'm going off on tangents here, but I can't help it.
To make one statement like I made to get you started, I mean, on the Taylor Swift issue.
Listen, here's what's going on, okay? Mm-hmm. We are pre-recording this at almost 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
Saturday evening.
This is where we go.
So my brain and my energy is completely different than it is when we do this at noon my time on a weekday.
Yeah.
I have no idea where I'm even going with anything that we're doing. I'm
digging it. We can talk about this stuff, and I'm not upset by it.
Okay.
So let's talk about the role of faith, shall we? I mean, because I like Sunday conversations. I tend to go a little bit more spiritually focused and oriented. And that, you know, in a non-denominational way, because as you know, on many of these conversations I've had, like, you know, we had the Easter weekend replay of Pastor
Steve German.
Yeah. And so we've had people of many faiths on. And my idea of doing the and it wasn't even my idea, Super D, I think it was more yours, but to do these Sunday conversations was to explore various belief systems, faiths, not to convince anybody or convert anybody, but so that I think we're better when we're exposed to know what's out there and why people believe what they believe.
Right.
And I know sometimes people hear things and they turn it off because they don't want to hear stuff. It may challenge or threaten them, but that's not my intent. and doing, I don't know, super, do you think that people think I'm intending to change, transform? I mean, I like to uplift people and inspire them to their path, whatever it is. And then, yeah. You know, how do I do that?
You don't come across as being like pushy or like you've got an agenda or anything.
I think I'm hypersensitive or overly sensitive, as I've said many times over the years, about coming across that way, because I don't want to do that. People have tried to do that to me, and I don't like that.
Look,
here's
the thing. You know, our audience is somewhat diverse.
Yes, it's very diverse, I think.
But you know, what I've noticed, at least my perception, mm-hmm. is that we have a lot of people in our audience, a lot of people that follow the show, that are... How would I describe this?
A Judeo-Christian based.
Judeo-Christian
right?
based. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. You know, yeah. And there are different denominations, you know, with differences within that umbrella. But yeah. So when you introduce things like reincarnation, some people go,
Dude, I can't help it. I have fun with these topics.
I know you. Well, awesome. Listen, I will tell you, I've looked into, what it is that you believe, mm-hmm. or at least on paper.
Yeah, sure.
How it's described. And I got to tell you, it's very interesting.
Pretty fascinating, isn't it?
It's interesting. I can see, because you are a very libertarian type person,
mm-hmm.
and I can see how that type of...
with me, wouldn't it?
It's perfect for libertarians.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I resonate spiritual freedom.
I don't know if you want to get specific or not, but...
Yeah.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I think, there are all kinds of people that gravitate towards various spiritual beliefs, and yet you can't necessarily lump them in, because I've seen people that share my beliefs that are liberal. I've seen them that are conservative. So, but at the same time, I get what you're saying, the resonation, because resonating with spiritual freedom is so important to me, having been beaten over the head with other paths and explored them as well. But I appreciate so much people who love God with all their heart and live in integrity, not hypocrisy. So that's why for me, I genuinely enjoy featuring people of faith, and they could be various faiths, even if I don't share every belief that they have. And I try to show people, you guys, man, it's really cool to learn about other people and what they believe and why they believe it. Doesn't have to change your belief.
Well, okay, I guess where I'm going with this is there's a particular I don't even know what to call it. It's not really a denomination, I don't think, that you, I guess, subscribe to. Is that something you want to get specific about talking about here on the show, or is that something you want to kind of keep to yourself?
I don't want to feature me today on that front. I don't mind it, because people know I don't hide things like that. But my point of
you subscribe to the Vulcan way of thinking.
Dude, that is so cool what you did with that. That was so hilarious. I was MC at an Easter weekend event in Denver, and then I wore a light blue sweater with a black turtleneck, and then Super Don.
So Star Trek.
Immediately. So Star Trek.
Okay, so we'll just leave that alone then.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to what you wanted to talk about.
But also because I don't want to have any undue influence on purpose in any way.
Sure, okay.
That's why I'm very sensitive about it.
That,
not because
that's why I was tap dancing around and trying to get you to let me know what you thought. So
yeah, because I will talk about it in more general terms, unless someone is just sincerely interested in it. I can't assume everybody is, so I just kind of leave that for more interpersonal talks.
Well, I'll just tell you, I looked into it, and I was kind of fascinated by it, because it was like, I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is, it just totally makes sense. But let's talk about, you were wanting to talk about the role of faith.
Yeah.
and so here's a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you see faith or spirituality contributing to what you would consider or call modern life, especially in an era that's dominated by science and technology? Because listen, we both love science, and we love technology, and there are times when you take spirituality and faith, and they kind of bump into science and technology, and there are sometimes it's hard to combine those two things together and figure out how do they work together, because there are a lot of people that would look at those two things and say that they don't go together.
Yeah.
In fact, one contradicts or even threatens the other.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about satanic things, right?
Yes, right. Yes.
That has a tendency to insert itself into that conversation quite often.
Sure. Well, I've brought this up in terms of those that have replaced the religion of their youth with science. That has become their religion, their faith. And so many of these terms of spirituality and religion have kind of snuck their way into science, you know, believe in the science, have faith in the science, trust the science even. And, you know, I had a great interview with Dr. Jack, James Linesweiler from IPAC over the weekend. We're working on getting this long COVID recovery summit. We talked about a lot about the corruption of science. And at one point toward the end, we were actually talking about this idea that we have to have faith in science, which is absurd, absolutely absurd. And this is where maybe people have been disillusioned with the religion of their youth. Certainly there's scandal after scandal. You know, you can look at the history of it and go, well, I don't think I want to be part of that. Maybe you were, maybe there was an abuse situation or you witnessed an abuse situation. I don't mean to, you know, harp on those things, even though we can talk about those things from time to time. So it's not generalized, but there are specific instances of people that abuse their authority and power inside of churches and outside of churches. Inside of scientific realms and outside of scientific realms. So in these cases, there's been a lot of disillusionment. And of course, with the advancements of the 20th century in particular, where we grew up mostly, and now in the 21st, Super D, the reliance on faith and God has diminished to some degree because stuff was just there. You didn't have to necessarily think, oh, I need to pray over that or be grateful for something, because it just magically appears. Like, just like we talk about the grocery stores, for the most part, with a few exceptions, they magically fill up again when they're gone. And so many times when we look at the history of humanity, where you were caught in a place of, I could die if, and then you find reason to appeal to a higher authority. Some would call that weakness. I don't call that weakness. I have a perception that even with all of the advances in technology, in fact, it's is ever more important because of the distractions away from the spiritual realities of our existence. Again, this now comes back to a belief that's not a belief in science. As much as I acknowledge what real science is a process of discovering our methods and techniques of discovering what is this life? You know, what are the principles? What are the laws that govern the universe, so to speak? And so a lot of people do want to divorce their faith from science. But for me, it's really uncovering the miracles, if you will, if they are explicable, and maybe some of them are not. So it's an interesting topic when we talk about the people that do look at science, not overtly, I don't think they think of it as a religion, but we've talked about it for decades on this show, how right. People treat it like it is. You know, they have a faith and a belief in it, and they're not very spiritual. They may even be atheists.
Well, I think that has to do with the fact that a lot of people in science are atheists,
mm-hmm.
scientists.
Yeah.
Right? They are atheists, and the reason why they're atheists is because they're so far into science, and science is not a, you know, science, I correct me if I'm wrong, but the way mm-hmm. I see it is science is not a thing that deals well with believing in things that you can't prove.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's what science is all about, right?
Well, it's very, you would say, mental plane focused, which is kind of cool because there's a lot of cool stuff when you talk about the mind and, you know, mathematics and, you know, discoveries that can be made and some things that you can prove through hypothesis and experimentation and then validation and duplicating those things. So if people are really atheistic, then it becomes like a religion to them, you know, the study of science, because right. It helps them find solace in an otherwise mysterious place. You know, I want something solid and I can grasp and go, yeah, that's real. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, as much as I like science, I don't need everything proven to that level, but I recognize that if I'm talking about what I believe and I can't prove it to you, I'm not going to try to prove it to you. I'm happy to share my beliefs and stories about a thing or things. Cause my son has become very logical and, you know, prove it kind of thing. That's what he's developed into because he's had some experiences with religions and other things that I think has really soured him on organizations. Yeah.
I think I could have conversations with him about that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
Growing up. But, and I went through a very, you know, pretty extended period of time, angry about it.
Yeah.
And feeling like I wanted to run out and try and debate people,
right?
To vent that
how wrong they are.
Yeah, and that was a really bad character flaw for a long time. We've talked about that, and so I'm glad I grew out of that because
you got to temper that anger, or else life's not going to be fun much at all. You carry it around and you want to prove to everybody that you know what you're feeling is what they should feel too.
Right, and how they're wrong and you're right, and it's just that's not a good place to be.
No,
but where the place that I've come to on this is, one of, where you know, it doesn't matter to me any. People believe whatever they want to believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the reason why I get along so well with a lot of people, and a lot of the topics we talk about on this show,
right?
Is because I, you know, it's like if it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah,
it's all right. You know, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If it works for you, if you believe it, and it did something good or positive for you, and changed your life in a positive way, then it worked for you. That doesn't mean it worked for me. Doesn't mean it worked for other people. Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, let me just go on a quick tangent.
Go ahead.
Couple of cool stories today.
Yeah.
First off, this afternoon, my sister came over to visit, and she's been dealing with some diabetes problems. And so I told her, I said, look, you know, actually, I don't have it.
You got the glucose sugar balance for her?
I told her about it.
Food research, you get that from Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com, if you're not sure.
I don't have the bottle handy. Anyway, so I told her about it. I said, hey, look, you know, this is what you do. You know, you take this, and I gave her the protocol and on how many times a day and stuff like that.
Keep talking. I'm going to go get it.
Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, it worked. And I can't tell you how many times over the years now, what a cool experience it is to take something that we talk about on this show.
Yeah. So this is what you gave her, right?
That's it. Yeah, she ordered it from choosetobehealthy.com.
Okay, so what was she taking? A capsule 1, 2, 3 times
whatever,
a day?
Whatever. I can't remember what it is. What is it that you're supposed to take?
If she's
1, 3 times a day, I think.
If she's already diabetic, then I would say 4 times a day initially.
Yeah.
And then drop it to 3, but at least 3 times a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she came over today. We were hanging out. She was getting the dog groomed. My daughter is a dog groomer, and the dog was getting its stuff done. So they came over and hung out for about an hour. And she said, oh, by the way, just wanted to let you know the Chromium works. And I'm like,
did she talk to you about numbers or just,
she said her numbers were in the 130s. And that, when she started, now that she's been taking it the way that she's supposed to be taking it, she's down in the 80s now.
Jeez, look at that. Dr. Superdon.
Well, it wasn't me. It was you. You know, I got that from you. That wasn't me.
This is exciting, and I didn't know you were going to share that. I'm just thrilled to hear
Well, like I said, I just found out about it today. So
okay, so that was real recent. That was the coolest, dude.
That was cool. So she's ordering 2 more bottles, and she's found something that works.
So here's the question now. Does she have faith in dietary supplements?
Oh, she has. I mean, it's not like it's something that she's had a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't for a long time, but it was something new to her, and she's tried various different things that have worked. She's got a lot of health issues, and she has for all her life. She's had more surgeries than I can even count.
Have you guys talked about your journey, you and your wife now, with what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talk all the time.
You guys are crazy?
She's doing the same type of thing. She's on a keto diet
because
that seems to work for her, and she's lost a bunch of weight and stuff like this. But with the diabetes situation, she's got a practitioner that she's working with that suggested she use NAC. And that was like causing some gastrointestinal issues for her and stuff like that. Yeah. And so she looked at the food research. Now, does that have NAC in it?
I don't think so. The most of the NAC is kind of lab made, but it's a precursor for the glutathione. But remember, it's a selenium issue more than anything else.
Okay. So anyway, she's like, she told her practitioner about it, and the practitioner was like, "Oh, that sounds good. Go ahead and use it." Mm-hmm. And now she's going to give it to the practitioner, so the practitioner can look at the bottle and see what's in it and stuff. So
very cool.
Maybe she's paying it forward.
Yeah.
But in any case, it worked for her, and so that's a good success story. The other thing is that my daughter, Laura, who I've talked about, she was having some really bad heartburn, like acid reflux type situation happening. Yeah. And so I told her that she should start doing the aloe because that's something that we've done here and my wife has been doing with and without the silver. Okay. Right.
You can do both. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's been taking the aloe and she's like, for the last 3 days, she's had no acid reflux.
Oh, man.
And so I'm like, okay, well, keep doing it. I told her, do it twice a day. Do it, on an empty stomach and do one in the morning and do one, like an hour before you have dinner. And it's taking care of the situation for her. So
nice.
It made me feel good because people came to me and asked me for, if I relayed to them what I've learned and it's worked for them. So,
this is awesome. Now, coming back to the faith issue.
Yes.
I was joking when I said, does she now have faith in dietary supplements?
Oh, but I see.
The reason I bring that up is because we came to this conclusion based on some pretty sound science in terms of what does chromium do in the body, how it facilitates the delivery and uptake and, that kind of thing of the sugar that's carried by the insulin. So it isn't, when I say, well, if you do this and you have, type 2, particularly diabetes, you can reverse it. And I'm not saying because I'm praying for you. I'm hoping. I mean, I don't, I like prayers, but I'm just saying this is a very practical step to take to go, I'm going to put something in my body that my body needs. It's clearly, or at least to my, it's not really there like it should be, and watch what happens. So it is funny because people will talk about faith in science and then they can also say, I have faith in my dietary supplements. Like I don't think you need faith in that.
Right.
I think, again, I come back to faith being kind of a spiritual relationship.
Listen,
thing, having,
faith is when you start to take it, but you've had no experience with it. And, and based on what it is you've heard other people say, you have faith that it's going to work.
I'm going to take it on faith, right? Yeah. Sure.
Once you started taking it and it works, you don't need faith because you know it works.
It works. That is a great example because what have I said beyond faith is knowingness. And then we talk about in a generic way, my spiritual path to spiritual freedom, the exercises, the toolkits that I've utilized to provide for me very deeply, personal spiritual experiences that have given me an ability to leap beyond faith. And this is not in any way saying faith is bad. No, not at all. But to your point, when you have experiences, let's say having faith in God or Christ or whatever it is, and you see that every time you made a leap and you were caught, so to speak, do you come to the conclusion, maybe even logically, spiritually logical, I don't even have to have faith. I know because that's the way it works. And so it's a fascinating thing to discuss faith in terms of a religious or spiritual worldview and compare it to the faith in science where, I think it's a misuse of the term. I mean, if you're really a scientist, I'm not saying you have to be an atheist to be a scientist either. That's not what I want you to have the conclusion.
Well, no, we know quite a few that aren't atheists.
Exactly. I mean, and then those that have had your experience, though, Super D, or like my son right now would say, well, they're whatever, because they're grumbling about some personal experience. And I don't think that, that spiritual or maturity, just the maturity that you say, I dig it. I don't have to believe what you believe, but I love that you do. And it's fulfilling to you. And why would I want to disabuse you of that? The only thing I've ever said is, if it's not working for you, there are many ways you can communicate with God if you perceive there is a God. And that's where I say I like to be able to share these stories from people. How did they do it? Could inspire you and could strengthen your own faith. It doesn't have to basically be a conversion to something else. If you experience it in a certain way, great. Who am I to celebrate, that you left? So, I guess you could celebrate sometimes if a marriage is abusive and there seems to be no way out, you celebrate somebody gained their freedom from that. And you could argue in some cases there are abusive relationships within organized religions. That's happened. We know that. So in that way, you could celebrate. But that means it's not working for somebody to acknowledge that they're in an abusive relationship, not in a spiritually uplifting or freeing one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a journey for mm-hmm. sure, trying to wrap your head around these things. And it's one in particular that the evolution for me, mm-hmm. I've reached a point where I'm just dumbfounded. I mean, I understand what you're saying about, you know, faith, and there's, you know, you have experiences and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people, when they have those experiences, it's like, see God, mm-hmm. I did this and this, and then this happened. God.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Just God.
Yeah.
For somebody like me, mm-hmm. I can look at situations in life and experiences that I've had where, and we've talked about this before over the years, where it's like you just get out of the way and you let things just happen the way that they are supposed to. And then things happen
yes.
in a way that is good, sometimes even better than what you were expecting, but it never happened. You even got close to happening when you were trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
You had to let it happen because it was supposed to happen the way that it happened. And so I look at that mm-hmm. and I don't say God. I don't know what I don't know. You know, it just worked.
Sure.
And I was happier when I got out of the way. Mm-hmm. But God, I can't make that connection. All I know is that, you know, in life, the harder you try to make situations happen, sometimes the worse the outcome ends up being. And it's not mm-hmm. until you've had that experience where you're kind of like, you just give up and you just go, okay,
yes.
you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I'm good yeah. with whatever it is that happens. And yeah. then suddenly it's like, oh, hey.
You detach from the outcome.
Right.
And yeah. The spiritual art of surrender. But prior to that, you were talking about, I think, a spiritual law of reversed effort. The harder you push, the more it pushes back against you.
Right.
The harder you pull, the more it pulls back against right. you. And there's a point where you go, I've done everything that I can. You can say,
I am tired of punching myself in the face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I give and, up. And then, yeah. then things, yeah, things are then okay. Things,
you open up and
yeah.
you, some people say, let go and let God. Again, that's a spiritual perspective.
Right.
Not everybody shares it. Like you said, Dav. The other thing is, that art of surrender is this or something greater. You know, I may have only conceived of one outcome that I am desiring so much, but what if, whatever you call it, God or spirit or something that, you know, wants the best for us, because I have that perspective and belief. What if I'm selling myself short? These are some of the stories Anne would tell. This or something greater. She's like, dream bigger, dream bigger, dream bigger. And you're like, whoa, what is that? But I think that we, as I've said so many times, are often our own worst enemy or biggest obstacle, because our belief system is limiting that, which I've said so many times right. over the years, because I've experienced it. That's why I do believe it. Do I have faith in it? I guess so. But it's the experience of it to say, how many times do I have to see it occur before I go, dude, this is the way it works. These are the laws in operation. This is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. We're getting beyond faith in that point. But it starts there, and there's nothing wrong with it, too. You might find another thing that you have to now take another leap of faith as you've got it down pat in certain way, and somebody else is going to challenge you to go, well, what about here? Right? You know, that could happen. I think that's part of the journey in life as well. So for me, it's a fascinating discussion. But coming back to the science and all the stuff we've experienced in our lifetime, things have gotten, dare I say it, too easy. They've gotten fairly easy where, you know, throughout the history of humanity, unless you were a slave owner or the king or queen, which you would have slaves, of course, at that point, you didn't have access to food by the snap of a finger, the ability to go anywhere when you wanted to. And so that context of what happens when you are given pretty much everything you ever wanted, or if it's not everything, it's like pretty much your basic needs are covered. Then we find people complaining about being misgendered. this is where we see that if you go to places around the world where they don't have the ease of access to everything we do at the snap of a finger, even with inflation,
they don't care about that crap.
They'll be going, what stupid thing is that?
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
So we have a challenge right now of, I believe, maybe coming back to faith, a spiritual renaissance of some kind as things maybe become tougher. We talk about I'm not talking about eclipse and whatever they're all
listen,
crazy about there.
It's the concept of Mm-hmm. Let me just give an example. The first thing that came to mind when you were talking about that was, mm-hmm. When a major catastrophe happens,
mm-hmm.
You name it,
yeah,
a terrible earthquake, a tornado, hurricane, a terrorist, like 9/11. 9/11 is actually a good example because I can remember even back in that day.
Mm-hmm.
There was still division and strife and, left against right and, Christians versus Muslims and gays versus straight and all that kind of stuff. But when that happened, boom, and let's just leave the how it happened, why it happened, sure. or whatever aside, yeah. but the devastation, the shock, suddenly people didn't care about that stuff anymore, at least for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't care about who that guy over there. What did he think? What political party? Who did you vote for? What do you think about abortion? What do you think? It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Everybody was just human.
What became important shifted in a moment, didn't it?
Right. Right. Yeah. And so, I think that might align a little bit and kind of go along with what it is that you're saying,
mm-hmm.
where, look at what's going on today. You brought up the whole being misgendered and stuff like that.
Right.
We are so divided as a society right now. More than I have ever seen in my lifetime. I've never seen it. I don't know about you, but I've never seen it like this before, where people are so polarized. There's a meme that goes around on Facebook. It's kind of funny. It's like everybody wants to argue about everything. So here's a picture of a stick. You're just bound to somebody's way. No, actually, that's not a stick. That's a branch. A stick would be everybody wants to argue about everything and be at odds with each other about everything right now.
We have the luxury to do so as long as people are, at least their basic needs are met. Of course, we've seen the protests prop up around the world about the farmers that are being taxed out of existence for, various purposes or reasons. And then you find the people who are hungry are not always the farmers, or the people that rely on the farmers didn't know they relied on the farmers, because suddenly the stuff's not appearing in the grocery store. And so you find an alignment there, in a crisis, you find those alignments. As much as, they play and prey on us to divide us through artificial crises that become very real to us when they happen. The question is when and why and how do we come together and say, all of those petty differences are really not that important. And I guess part of what I like to do and try to do on this show, including Sunday Conversations, is point out those differences aren't that important, except, when those differences result in a genuine threat to your life, liberty, or property. And I think that goes back to a basic fundamental policy and is libertarian, if you will. What's yours is yours. What's mine is mine. If I want to share it, I can. If I want to sell it, I can, vice versa. And if the government starts getting involved and taking stuff away that's where you get the power structure in the center. Then we get the idea of, oh my gosh, see all that power over there. If I want to have the stuff, I'm going to somehow influence and be part of that, and that's where we come back almost semi full circle to the selling your soul to the devil idea. When I talked about Taylor Swift, it's weird but the idea of wanting fame and power and money, all of that, what are you willing to do to achieve it? I'm not saying she didn't work hard or whatever. I don't know all the nuances of her, and it's kind of a throw it out there. But you look at those archetypes of someone who came, from a small thing, and suddenly she's the largest artist on the planet. Is it definitely a nefarious, demonic? I don't know. But, these things, you go, I'll scratch my head and go, man, that's pretty unusual. How did that happen? Is it all this? Is it all that? We know there's so much ugly and nefarious stuff that does go on, like I said, the Hollywood, the pedophile stuff and all of that. Very real. And even it was interesting coming back to the concert my daughter and I went to, the Hannah Wicklund concert. She acknowledged it in at one point, as she was talking to the audience about having to navigate a very dangerous environment, the entertainment industry, and how she was, as a young girl, figuring it out and not succumbing to all of that. Not playing those games and even establishing her own record label to self-publish her music. It's like, all right, you might not make it to that level, but you could see the sheer joy on her face performing for people that really appreciated her talent. And maybe that's enough. I mean, there's always that, can we get bigger? Can we get bigger? Can we get, but what is that point where we become vulnerable to the temptation, so to speak, right? Are we drawn for ego's purposes? Are we drawn for money or fame? Well, or is it a spiritually uplifting experience to like, you feel that flow through you and people are happy?
You want a good example?
Yeah.
Look at what's going on with the whole Sean Combs P. Diddy guy right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
There's a perfect example, I think, of what you're talking about where, you know, it would seem, now look, I don't know the guy personally, but there's impressions that you get when you've spent some time
watching.
There's
a lot of suspicion there about interaction with CIA and other things to capture and let's say capture people in compromising situations.
Yeah.
That we've talked about, and that he played into that. Apparently, there's a lot of bizarre stuff and a lot of claims coming out that make me very suspicious. That's why, I mean,
this is all gossipy kind of, you know, pop culture type stuff. But I think there's a lesson in there somewhere, right?
And then you get, you know, for me, you look at Taylor Swift and she goes, "Go Joe Biden." I'm like, "Are you a moron?"
Oh yeah.
And that's mean of me to say so, because some people, I mean, there might be one or two people out there that still. But even I just read before we went to air that Cenk Uygur, one of those people in talk radio.
Oh, the Young Turks.
Young Turk guys, right?
Yeah.
And they're so liberal, it's just nauseating.
Yeah.
At the same time, he's now acknowledging Joe Biden is a criminal. He'll always be a criminal. And he's now looking at Bobby Kennedy and going, oh. So, I mean, even those people are going, oh, maybe there's a problem here.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain point where
knives are out on RFK Jr. right now, aren't they?
Of course. Well, the Democratic establishment can't handle the fact that he's called them out on a lot of things, including and especially the First Amendment. You know, the fact that they've become the party of censorship and the party of war, even though there are Republicans into the war too. I'm not saying that, but right now they're the party in power and they're all in on the war and the things they're doing. So in that way, I would say, could I say that's a Luciferian scenario? I could argue from a definition point of view, whether it's a personified Lucifer or not, I'm not saying, but the idea of, you know, the negative draw of harming, killing, breaking, destroying, fearing, dividing, all of these things, conquering, these, you know, don't seem to be so uplifting in terms of convert or die, you know, which most religions have done at one point in their history, as opposed to let's lead by example. Let's be true to our beliefs, and maybe people will see that and say, you know, that's really amazing. I would like to learn more about that, which is like the way I like to live my life, and I like to bring people on who have a true belief and faith, and they live it, and that could inspire people to live better lives. Who am I to say what path they need to be on? That's between them and God or a creator or whatever you perceive. So a little bit more of my philosophy, and you said it's very spiritually libertarian in that way. Definitely the path of spiritual freedom is that's the path for me. And I believe God gave me that path and that it aligns with my spirit, with my consciousness, my state of consciousness. Doesn't mean it's going to be aligning with everybody else, but I don't have a problem with that. Some people do.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
There you go.
That explains it all, doesn't
it? We've just spoken for 47 minutes and I have no idea what I said.
You were awesome, dude. You're speaking straight from your experience and your belief system. I love it. That's what a Sunday conversation is supposed to be, Super D, and you didn't know, but it is. You do know.
Okay? All right. Well, maybe we'll do this more often.
Let's pause on this for everybody. If you enjoyed the conversation, you want to add to it, you can always sign up for the newsletter for free, and you can leave us a message at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, or on the website at robertscottbell.com. There's a place you could submit comments, and when we're live on the air, you can go to the chat room, robertscottbell.com/live, which is technically open all the time. And also, we do have a couple of questions of the day. Maybe we can squeeze them in for a Sunday. Sure. We don't do that every Sunday, but here's a big one. Oh my gosh. From Miriam.
Let me get the logo out of the way. Yeah. There we go.
Hi, Dr. Scott Bell. She says, thank you. By the way, doctor is a teacher. Thank you for all that you're doing. Your contact and book has been a gift to me and my family. Recently, my aunt in Belize, I think that's Central America, has come down with what I believe is Morgellons syndrome.
Mm.
After taking the COVID vaccine. All right, by the way, howicuredmorgellons.com. Howicuredmorgellons.com. This is a group that I've worked with for many years, and I once a quarter, typically I try to, if not once every 6 months, I do a special session with them. Mel from howicuredmorgellons.com. They're amazing people helping each other out with Morgellons. So I'm you should plug into that group for sure, for Miriam, for your aunt. Let's see what else. She is in a terrible state, and the medication they are giving her for her skin breakout is breaking down her immune system. Yeah, prednisone, steroids, other things like that. Can you please help me with something she can take to heal this and get the vaccine out of her system? All right, so she needs to send an email to Superdon, askrsb@gmail.com, and say jab reverse. That's been our code word.
Yes.
If she sends jab reverse, then I will forward that on to the...
In the subject line.
In the subject line.
Yes.
Then I will connect you with my buddy Neil, who will connect you with the homeopathics to help counter that, among other things that we're doing with our long COVID and long COVID injury summit or masterclass, so to speak. So that is what I would urge her to do. I know you want to do it for her, but you don't want to do it for her. Let her know that that's an option, and we're happy to follow up with her that way. She can utilize for skin, obviously, silver topically to help address some of this. But if she plugs into the How I Cured Morgellons group, she will get a lot of information, a lot of support, a lot of people that have been through this for years, long before the COVID shot and even after. So let's see, since 2021, that's when it started. Her face is swollen. She's in a lot of pain. Remember the homeopathic hits we've done. We've hit a lot of inflammation and swelling remedies. So you can go back and listen to them. If you're a patron or she's a patron supporter of the Robert Scott Bell Show, you can download and watch them, audio and video. I know Superdon's behind on it. Hopefully you're going to catch up soon. There's a lot going on there.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. I would really like to help her out. Lost what to do. She's already changed her diet. She only eats veggies and poultry products, specifically chicken. Chicken may not be good. Chicken can be inflammatory.
Well, it depends. What's the chicken like in Belize? I have no idea.
I'm sure that they're probably cleaner, but still, chicken as a meat is not good for everybody. Some people get more inflamed on chicken.
It says she is in Belize, so nothing is labeled organic. It's probably because most of it is organic.
Yeah. Ask what they feed them, right? There's a lot of, you know, it's a rainforest in many ways.
Right.
Cut down on chicken. Somebody else has told her to cut down on chicken. She's very little because eating is a discomfort for her. Any advice? We don't give advice, just information, education. How about the Altacangest to help cool the inflammation, the digestion issues, enzymes to break down if your digestion is weak. But the Altacangest is there. The Silver Aloe Gut Recovery Protocol is there. More copper in her system. You know, that might mean eating liver from healthy, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished type animals, if you will, for copper. Get enough copper in her. And again, get her plugged into the Morgellons group. Okay. That will be a real big, important place to start, Miriam. So thank you for asking that. And Superdon, we're going to have to remind ourselves to say this on Monday that we did this on Sunday.
Yes. Agree.
All right. This is from Grace. Hi, Robert. I suffer from constant nasal congestion, particularly at night and early mornings. During the day, I simply can't breathe through my nose completely, even when it doesn't feel congested. I don't know if I have polyps. What would you recommend doing? Well, there's nothing wrong with getting an analysis from an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat, to actually look at what's going on. So you're not mystified if you think you have polyps or something. I mean, it'd be good to identify that. She says, I was considering doing evening nasal irrigation with saline. Well, yes, you could do that, but don't add sovereign silver to the saline. Do them separately. Mm-hmm. Sovereign silver you can add to hydrogen peroxide. It binds it. So saline separate from the sovereign silver. But I would have the sovereign silver or Gentian 23 nasal spray. Absolutely. Utilize that as often as needed. You know, when I'm congested and that happens from time to time, I would definitely utilize that as needed. It's just a wonderful tool. Now, the question is to why the congestion is there. What, Grace, are you sleeping on? Do you have a Silver Right pillow? Seriously. I remember I gave the Silver Right pillow cover, I think it was, to one of Leslie's
daughter.
Right? Yeah. And among the six, now it's just too many things going through my head. I apologize. But it was amazing because she responded back, I think, recently and said it worked because she had congestion at night. She couldn't sleep. Congestion was so bad. And she got on the Silver Right pillow and it changed everything. And I said that that was probably the likely issue because you don't know what you're breathing in with those pillows. Mm-hmm. You know, memory foams or feathers. I mean, they can be growth medium for mold and bacteria and little critters. When you see them, you're like, oh my God, these are aliens. And they're always in your, you know, in your breath, so to speak, when you breathe in and out. Nebulizing the silver and or the copper could be helpful as well. And remember, the homeopathic hits, we've covered a number of the remedies for the sinus and the lungs. And the sinus remedies include Cali Bichromicum and Sticta Pulmonaria, as well as Allium Sepa. Those are three I can throw out right offhand. But be careful what you're putting in your body, including food, water, and air. And that air is what you're sleeping on at night, especially creating congestion. I know that was my story, and getting on the silver pillow has been amazing. So you got anything to add to that?
I don't think so. I think it's interesting. This is very similar to a question, another question we just had, I think, last week with nasal congestion. We're kind of getting into allergy season as well, right?
Yeah. Remember, healing the gut is the critical part of breaking the cycle of allergies. When you have a leaky gut, you have things getting in through the former intact barrier of the epithelial lining, right? And now it's separating, spread out, inflammation separates it, and you glyphosate, antibiotics, anything, and it creates a pathway for undigested proteins to get into the blood and the other blood body fluids through the gut. That creates a scenario where your immune system is on and always active and always reacting and always reacting. And so you have histamine, you have all other kinds of things, and you're reacting to things in the environment like pollen that I'm no longer reacting to. And I used to be the poster boy for those allergies. But I healed my liver, I healed my gut, broke the cycle of the allergies. So yes, you can take allergy remedies. We've covered a lot of those. Sabadilla is another one. I'm just thinking of remedies. But heal the gut, heal the liver, break the cycle of allergies. 2 weeks to 8 weeks, 2 weeks to 2 months. Took me 2 years to break the cycle of my digestive disorders because I didn't know about the Silver Aloe Gut Recovery Protocol. So Silver Aloe. Go to Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com. Get your silver. Go to Aloe One, Stockton Aloe One, or Haley, Dr. Haley's Nutrition, Aloe, A-L-O-E, one.com. Mention the RSB show sent you. They'll hook you up, and you'll be on your way to a better spring and summer. So how do we do? Good Sunday conversation.
I can't believe the hour's over already.
Did it go fast for you?
It did.
That was a great conversation. Let us know what
you
think.
I hope so. Yeah, please let me know, because I feel like I just said a whole bunch of stuff that didn't make sense. Yeah. But
and if you didn't like anything Super Don said, just tell him. He's okay.
And also, by the way, we only got just a few seconds left here. I've tried out a new format for the newsletter, which has more commentary involved rather than just hard news and stuff like that. I am hoping for some feedback from people, so let me know. Let me know, because I'm trying some new different things here, and I don't want to assume that everything's good. So if you like it, let me know. If you don't like it, let me know. And I'm going to keep working on it until I get it dialed into something that people like.
All right. Great guest coming up this week. Peter Simonson, talking about the Juvent technology Monday. Wednesday, we're going to be heading to the salt mines with Liana Werner Gray and Redmond. And so we'll have some feedback from that, but it won't be a live show that day. And then after the show Thursday, I'll be heading to Arizona. So you want to join me for dinner at the Giving Tree Thursday night. And then Friday, we'll be at Sonoran University a little bit early. With that, God bless y'all. Super Don, you did amazing. Thank you for being with me on this Thank Sunday conversation. You made it extra special, crispy.
Extra crispy.
Yes.
Not original recipe.
The power to have faith, the power to heal. It's yours.
All right. We'll see you on Monday.